A modern-day parable. Listen, what do you think of this? An environmentalist went out to spread the word about the injury to Mother Earth. As he went out and spoke to huge crowds of people, some of his words fell on the ears of those who refused to hear. Some of his words were heard, and people recycled their plastic and bottles for a few weeks, and then those people continued to live as usual. Some of his words were heard by people who make money off of those things that destroy the planet, and they quickly discredited what he was saying. Some of his words were heard by people who were deeply moved, and they cared so much about the health of Mother Earth that they changed their lifestyles and sold their big cars and consumed far less of everything and moved into smaller homes and switched to solar energy and began asking everyone they knew to do the same. Are you listening to this? Are you really listening? Let me explain the parable. The environmentalist does everything in his power to spread the word about the injury to Mother Earth. Some people are like the crowds who refuse to hear his words. Their hearts and their heads are like hardened ground. There is no place for the words to enter in. They do not want to be inconvenienced. No sooner do they hear the word than it bounces right off because they are completely closed to hearing. Some people are like those who hear and want to do something, but whose commitment is so shallow that after a few minor attempts and good efforts, the emotion wears off and it begins to feel like work, and they realize after a while that no one is watching, so they simply return to living how they have always lived without regard for the damage being done. Ultimately, there is little impact as a result of their short-lived efforts. Some people are like those who benefit from what ultimately destroys the earth, like the gas and oil companies and automobile manufacturers and factory owners and shipping companies and large corporations who are concerned with nothing but profit. And like the religious institutions who are selling the idea that God will destroy the world, but not by the planet. The profiteers do everything to make sure that the message is not heard in the first place. Some people are like those who hear the environmentalist and believe what is being said because they can see it and feel it, and they care because they get the connection between humanity and Mother Earth and God. Those are the people who understand that we must change our entire lifestyles if we are to heal our Mother Earth. Those are the people who know the word must be heard and acted upon by millions and billions, and they begin to do their part in living and telling and sharing the word with others. Who are you in the modern day parable? Where do you fit into that story? Who are we as a community, and where do we as a community fit into the modern day parable? The story that I shared with the kids today during children's time was narrated by a woman that many of you are familiar with. Her name is Wangari Maathai. She started the Green Belt Movement in Kenya. Her story is that she saw her native land in Nairobi being deforested. It was a lush land with forests everywhere, and all of a sudden, the priority became quick cash. And so the forests were cleared and short-term cash crops were planted, and the money that was raised through those cash crops did not even benefit those who were local. And so she decided something needed to be done. She also understood the connection between human rights and the struggle for democracy and the abuse of the land. And so she decided that one answer to this vast array of problems was to begin to plant trees. And so she enlisted women all across Kenya. She enlisted the women because she also wanted them to benefit from what would come from the trees. They would have firewood for their fires. They would have shade. They could plant fruit trees and be able to eat the fruit from the trees. And so her organization, the Greenbelt Movement, ended up planting 30 million trees. Imagine what it felt like planting that first tree. Like Hummingbird, who was taking one tiny, tiny, tiny little drop of water and putting it on the fire. But what she says in the narration of this little short movie that's called Dirt, the movie, you can Google it, it's quite entertaining. What she says in that is, I didn't want to be like the other animals, just standing by and watching in my insignificance. I wanted to do the best I could. I wanted to be like Hummingbird. As a result of her effort, the UN ended up deciding to do a worldwide effort at planting trees, and they planted 11 billion. 30 million and 11 billion. Don't you wonder what it is that motivates somebody to move from hearing and seeing a problem to action? What is it that motivates somebody to say, I want to do the best I can? What is it that spurs that action? I was reading in Sunset Magazine recently, and they featured a family that didn't just have a beautiful garden, as Sunset often does. They featured a family in Mill Valley, a mom, a dad, and two sons. The sons are about 9 and 10. Their names are the Johnsons, and they were featured in Sunset Magazine because they do not produce garbage. Now, I want you to know, when I read the article the first time, I was stunned. I mean, I just sat there thinking about all of the garbage that my family produces and thinking, how in the world do you get to a place in life where you are producing no garbage? And the article was quite thorough. It talked about some of the things they do. It showed pictures of the inside of their kitchen cupboards, the inside of their refrigerator. It showed their closets, and it showed the kids' game room, all important places to show. And so the first time I read it, I was simply stunned, and then I went back online a little while later to read it again. And the second time I read it, I was just transfixed. So I read a little bit more, and the basic story is that they care about the environment. They love to go camping. They love to enjoy nature. Well, we could say that about most of us. Well, maybe not everybody loves to camp, but most of us love to enjoy nature. This family moved from a 3,000 square foot home to a 1,400 square foot home. And the mother, when she was a little bit younger, had had an experience of being very close to a family that lost everything in a fire. Some of you can relate. And so as she watched them go through that, she decided, I want to have a home in which everything that is in the home is loved and known and used. I don't want things sitting on shelves that are untouched. I don't want boxes in the garage of things that I won't look at for months and possibly years at a time. I don't want clothes hanging in my closet that are not going to be worn. So when they moved from their 3,000 square foot home to their 1,400 square foot home, they got rid of everything. They did not throw anything away. They gave it all away to various places. They made sure that everything in their home was being used and touched and known and loved on a regular basis. Now, those of you who have children know that that's a huge commitment. Those of you without children can imagine. Just think about yourselves. Think about all the extra stuff that you never touch or use. You may not even remember it's there anymore. This family made this deep commitment. Imagine this woman. This is part of the hard part for me. Imagine this woman going to the grocery store with all of her glass jars to fill up with food because she does not buy anything in a package. That alone overwhelms me. I mean, it does. It makes me want to sit down and just... And yet, I've gone back to that story. I keep reading it. There's something in there that just, I'm just in awe of that. I feel committed to the environment. I know you feel committed to the environment. How much have I changed my lifestyle? Not very much. When we talked about it at our Wednesday Bible study, one of the things we talked about is how hard it is to really make some of the bigger sacrifices. So we were all patting ourselves on the back just a little bit because we do the basic things. We recycle and we turn lights off as we leave rooms. We, let me think of some of the other things that were said. We conserve water, we turn off the water when we brush our teeth and wash our hands and, you know, the things that we know to do. And actually, the list that's in the bulletin today of things that people are already doing related to water, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And not all of us are probably doing all of those things. And what we came up with in the Wednesday Bible study is we tend to stop in this effort when it's something that doesn't have a direct impact on us. And so I'm sure you've heard people say, oh, we decided not to go solar because it's not cost beneficial. Or we're not going to buy a smaller car or a more energy efficient car because we just don't want to have another car payment again. Our car is already paid off. So for some of us, we stop at the point at which it's going to impact our wallets or our finances. For others of us, it's just a matter of convenience. We want to do the things we want to do. I am so guilty of that. I want you to know this is my true confession. Right here, I'm laying it out. I drove to LA and back in one day last year. I did. I feel horribly guilty, which is why I'm confessing to you. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. I've changed a few minor little things, but to change my lifestyle, to do the things or not do the things that I want to do, that's a lot harder. And one of the people in the Bible study said, yeah, but you know what? That's one of the best parts of community like ours. We can call to each other. We can encourage each other. We can do this with each other. It's hard when you're by yourself and you realize no one is watching. But when you're in community and you're talking about it and you're asking each other about it, that's a different story. Then it begins to feel like it's possible. So maybe the place for us to begin is here in community. We need to think about how we can lessen our impact on the planet, increase our impact in the world, lessen our impact on the planet. Every week, on average, we print out 150 paper bulletins. How can we do that differently? Sometimes we still use paper products and plastic. How can we do that differently? We don't have solar panels anywhere on our property. Could we seriously consider that? You know, when Katie decided to do the eco-friendly egg hunt on Easter, it was quite an effort to find things that truly were eco-friendly. It took her time. I guarantee you it cost more money than it would have to go with the little plastic eggs in the store. It was a tremendous effort. And that's the thing, it is. There's no shortcut around it. And if it's one of our deepest values, if we really are committed to lessening our impact, then it's time to talk about how we're going to do that specifically. And individually, we do often feel so small and so insignificant in this effort. And yet, the call is to be like the hummingbird. To be able to say at the end of the day, I did the best I could. May it be so. Amen.